And it's not for their hurt. That's true chastisement. It's to raise them up and to make them wise, to teach them the difference between things that are harmful and things that are good, right? And not only that, to teach them behaviors which are acceptable and which are not acceptable. The chastening is not merely the punishments. Don't think of it like that. It is all a rearing. The way they talk to you, I mean, the way your parents talk to you, the way you talk to your children as parents. I give my son talks. I say, this is what I expect of you. I make it clear to my children, I expect this. This is what you will do. That is guidance, instruction. They're like, would you like to do this? Oh, honey, could you do this and that? That's the way a wife should talk to her husband, not the way a parent should talk to their child. And a husband could speak softly to his wife too, of course. I'm saying, but children need direction. They need love, but they also need a firm hand guiding them, not oppressing them, because it isn't oppressing. You know, obviously, people come with different kinds of hearts, you know. Some people are desperately wicked, and so any sort of rearing is going to feel like oppression to them. And I thank God that I've been blessed with children who are, they take my chastisement joyfully. They take my tutorage, my discipline, with joy. I mean, I don't see a lot of, there's no resentment, you know, or anything like that, because I try not to do things that are worth resenting. You know, I look at the things that God has chastened me over. And for the most part, he's very light on light things. And some things, as it says, he winks at, but then calls all men to repentance. You know, he might, for a time, let something slide without correcting it in order to focus on something more important, to draw your attention to something more grievous. Something, because remember, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and finisher of our salvation. He is guiding us through our lives, bringing us to the point where we're going to be the sons of God. God is saving us. I'm not saving myself. I'm not doing it. He's saving me. He's my Father. What do you think we say? Our Father. He is the Father that is guiding and teaching and bringing. And so everything is in his hands. I mean, I want to please the Father, right? I want to please and be like that. And so I look at the Word and I say, well, what do I have to do? And it's very clear. I've got to believe and trust and ask. It's almost all those kind of things. And there are books out there on, you know, on all kinds of how to become holy and so on and so forth. And they teach you all kinds of legalistic means, all kinds of Hagar tactics, as I would call it. You know, shortcuts to righteousness that don't bring you righteousness, but sort of bring you closer if you can adhere to the system. But that's not true righteousness. That's not having the law of God written in your heart. That's just having so-and-so's book guide you to a higher form of excellence, but not perfection, not obedience. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you are a Christian, God is going to bring things to you that will cause you pain, that you will chafe again. I mean, to me, like I said, the worst I've ever been crucified is by Banks. Right? And I say that as by way of wild contrast, as being pathetically non-issue, right? But financial troubles are nothing compared to crucifixion troubles. You see my meaning? But God, in his love towards me, brings those troubles to make me better able to endure troubles that are coming. And it's not a sense of, now I look at the things that happen from my mismanagement as being, if I look at that as chastening, you know, has God struck me? Has he hurt me? Or is it merely a rebuke? And if he strikes at your bank account, oh God, why did this happen? Is that the attitude we approach it with? I've learned to try to put that attitude away. Guy, why did this happen? I know why it happened. I certainly don't blame God for that. though I ask, God, help me change. Help me be better. Help me be so I can avoid these things. Lord, why can't I be like that? That's a good why question. God, why can't I be more righteous right now? Why not? You ask God those questions. You know, it's like a son coming to you and saying, Dad, why can't I do more chores? Why can't I do them? Well, son, I didn't know you wanted them. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. What son is he whom the father chastens? What kind of son would you be if your father didn't give you any guidance? Paul says, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all in Christ, then you be bastards, not sons. Illegitimate, like, you know, you're not my son. I don't know who you are. I think of those churches where there's lots of rich people. People who never suffer, and God is so good to them. Their lives are good. They're bastards. Bastards who suffer nothing. They are bastards. You suffer nothing. Then you're a bastard. You have no correction of God. You're a bastard. That's what Apostle Paul said. I mean, he's an illegitimate child. You're not my son. You're just some bastard. Bastard child. We don't use that word anymore, obviously, because half of America is a bastard, right? Bastardness is, bastard now has become more like, it's just, like you jerk, you know, it just doesn't have a, specific meaning anymore. They don't even use the word illegitimate anymore. Because legit, what's legitimate, you know? Children from broken homes. They always use more, or, you know, I don't even think they use that anymore. That's divorce. What about single, you know, mothers without husbands? That used to be like a really big shame. Where's the father? He wouldn't marry you? Now, it's, well, I didn't want to marry him. I just wanted to have a baby. And you know what? I'm not here to sit in judgment of other people's lives, but only of things. And it's a shame, in the sense of a loss of something good, when there's no father for a child. Children need fathers. It's good for them. And fathers ought to be good. They need a good father. A bad father obviously can do a lot of damage.